And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm Pastor Emeritus Assembly of God. Need you to pray for me this week. I've got to travel to a part of Central Florida that is very congested, and we got some district meetings that we've got to attend as far as pastor. So you just pray for me. All I'm going to say is I-4, and that will tell you all that you need to know about why I need you to pray for me today, which is a good thing. We're talking about prayer, and I'm going to ask you to not just listen as we talk about prayer, but you actually put that into practice and pray for me today. So I want to say thank you to the folks of Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. There's a lot of times people say, hey, can you, you see it on social media, can you tell us about a company to have and come and look at our air conditioner? Honestly, a lot of the companies that people talk about are companies that I've never heard of, and I've been in Brevard County for nearly 40 years. There's a lot of new places, and I got no problem with new places. I don't know them as well. I do know some places where I've had parishioners who dealt with some of those companies, and I would say, hey, let me tell you about this company instead of that company because I know of how they do their business. Well, Weirich Air, Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida, and he runs his business with godly business practices. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program. They're friends of mine. And they take good care of their customers. So, they've been, solving AC issues, heating issues, and electrical issues for 50 years or more. They provide professional sales services and repairs. They are very, very good at what they do. They primarily handle residential settings, but do some light commercial settings and even emergency service when necessary. And they strive to provide their customers with the best service possible and an affordable price. And let me just tell you, affordable in 2025 may look different than it did in 2015. There were new systems that came online, were mandated by the federal government, in January of this year. And so there's all of that. And listen, everything else has gone up. So, you know, I just want to prepare you. The definition of affordable, don't get stuck back in the 1970s, when you could buy a house, what you can buy a car for these days. But here's what I will tell you. Hotter temperatures are coming. It may be a great time for you to have your AC unit serviced and cleansed, and Weirich Air travels all throughout Brevard County. Here's what happens, because I talk to them on a regular basis. If there is cold weather that comes through, all of a sudden their phone starts ringing off the hook because people need their heater fixed. That happened during the wintertime. When a super hot day comes, all of a sudden their phone starts ringing off the hook because people say, help, I need you to come fix my air conditioner. And so I would encourage you to call and say, hey, could you come out and check the unit out and make sure it's working optimally? Because they have busy times and slower times and things like that. Now, if they come out and service it, you know, there could be a part that breaks tomorrow, you know, with lightning and things like that. Capacitors can go, but fortunately, that's not a very time-consuming or super expensive repair. But make sure you not only have an AC system, but you maintain it. It lasts longer, and so let Weirich Air be someone you consider to provide your AC system with the TLC that it needs. They are based in Rockledge, but go all throughout the county. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, should you choose to call them. So today, yesterday we were in Luke chapter, or Friday we were in Luke chapter 3, we were talking about how Jesus, when he was baptized, he came up and was praying, and as a result, heaven was opened, a voice came. There was a physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit that took place. We want to have an open heaven. I will tell you this, that the book of Revelation talks about the prayers of the saints are being stored up in golden vials. I had another translation says bowls. I read a book last year, and it was talking about in that book how there was a lady who was the first believer ever in her family, and her family were professional grade sinners. You know, if we're comparing, you know, they had experience with various techniques of sin. Don't know what all the details about that. Just know that that's the way that he described the family before that lady came to faith. And when she gave her heart to Jesus, she set out to pray that her children would become Christians. And she prayed. She prayed for her children. She prayed for her grandchildren. She would eventually pray for her great-grandchildren. And family members would testify later that they would remember going to this lady's house, and while they were outside of her house, they could hear her praying for them by name on the inside of the house, asking for God to save them, forgive them of their sins, be the Lord of their life, and do so before or at an earlier age than what she gave her heart to Jesus. The guy that wrote the book said there was a family reunion, and the lady had prayed all of those years. She had eventually died, and when she died, she was still the only Christian in her family. And you would think, wow, her prayers went unanswered. Until that family reunion one day where the chiefest of sinners in the family, if you violated one area of God's law, you're guilty of the whole thing. So comparison wise, unless you're talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, any sinner is a professional sinner. But the good news is, with the exception of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness is available. But if the family was taking a contest and saying, which one of our family members will never give their life to Jesus, there was this one particular son that this lady had. And he showed up at the family reunion, and he said, I gave my life to Jesus. And he began to live for faith. He was the first answer to that lady's prayers for her family, but she wasn't there to see it. He was the first, but he wasn't the last. And one by one by one, all of her children and all of her grandchildren came to faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know about all of the great-grandchildren, but what I want to tell you about this is we pray in faith to God. And we come persistently. You know, when it says ask, seek, and knock, it literally means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And so we just, so that lady's prayers was, they were accumulating in heaven. And so at Merit Assembly of God, we've been praying for years. There are people that we've been praying for. And one of our families in the church had family members that need Jesus. They prayed for them for decades and decades. And there were deep spiritual issues going on. But in the past few years, one of those children, the seeds of the gospel that had been planted decades ago took root, and they gave their heart to Jesus. And many of that person's contemporaries mocked them, but they said, no, I look at the things that I see going on in the world, and I know where I heard about those things. I heard about them in church years ago. And so they've given their heart to Jesus, and that just emboldens us to continue to pray. And so if you're praying and you haven't received an answer yet, don't give up. Don't say, well, this obviously doesn't work. I heard that from somebody at one. This obviously didn't work because I prayed and didn't get what I wanted. I got what I didn't want. Keep on praying. Keep talking to God. So, after the baptism, Luke chapter 4 says this, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until the opportune time. So you say, why are you taking us there when you're talking about prayer? Well, it says there in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was filled with the Spirit and was led by the Spirit. Well, praying is one of the ways where we receive our marching orders. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And it says walk in the Spirit at the beginning. It says walk in the Spirit at the end. At the end of that, the word for walk is different than just the journeying through life. The latter walk in the Spirit means to keep in step, to march as in military formation. Walk in a manner in which you do not break rank. And so you see that you're more than just going on a stroll without any destination in mind. But instead, the more that we are led by the Spirit, we realize that we are just a part of the body of Christ. We are not the entirety of the body of Christ, and we are supposed to function in unity under the authority and the command of God with the rest of the body of Christ, so that we are where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that is a very important aspect of prayer. Another translation says that Jesus was driven by the Spirit. Matthew says was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. So in both of these cases, wilderness, desert, barren places, those are all different translations. They were places where there were not a lot of people. There were not a lot of resources. Jesus was fasting for 40 days, not like I fast. When I fast, I have done some water-only fast, but I've never done 40 days. I think the longest water fast I ever did was 10 days. There are times when I fast things, not food. There are times when I fast particular types of food, but not all of the type of food. Jesus fasted all of food. And that was not a place of punishment. It was a place of divine placement. He was there because the Holy Spirit led him there. And the devil thought that that was an opportune time to come and tempt him. Now, excuse me. Here's my take on temptation. Temptation only has an effect upon a person if what they are tempted with is better or has more enticement than something that they're already fully acquainted with. So, you know, if you're living in one house and that house has all sorts of problems, and then all of a sudden says, hey, I can put you in this new house over here, you may be tempted by the lust of the eyes to say, that's the house I want, not realizing that you can't afford the mortgage payment or the insurance or the property taxes or the upkeep. And so because of the inferior quality of what you've got, you may be tempted by something that you cannot really afford. Well, Jesus was fully aware of the Father's voice. We just saw at the baptism of Jesus on Friday's broadcast that he heard the Father's voice. It was a voice he was familiar with because he existed with the Father before his incarnation, before the virgin birth. He had seen what the Father could provide. He had seen the sinless nature of heaven. He knew all about, he was living holiness personified. And so the effectiveness of the temptation was never going to be an issue for Jesus. It wasn't Jesus out in the wilderness fasting and praying and flipping a coin and saying, should I or shouldn't I do what the devil wants me to do? The reality is this, that when Jesus was tempted, he was in that position because of prayer, because the direction had been taken, was spirit led. But what took place in the wilderness was to show the church that when we pray, we also need to pray with a full awareness of the Word of God. Too many people abuse the Word of God to enable a sin lifestyle instead of knowing the Word of God in its fullness and power so that they can resist temptation. How do we resist temptation? We submit ourselves to God, we resist the devil, and he flees. Jesus said, pray lest you enter into temptation. So prayer is not something that we do when we find ourselves in temptation. Prayer is what we do before we go into temptation. And one of the equipment, one of the pieces of equipment that we take with us every single solitary day that helps us to be victorious over temptation is the Word of God. So every time the enemy tried to misquote a word of God or misapply a word from God, Jesus said, and he quoted out of Deuteronomy. He would quote scriptures out of the book of Deuteronomy, and he says, you missed that. Let me correct your understanding about what the Word of God has to say. So there's a huge culture in there's a huge culture that is trying to deform Christianity to make it conform to the culture, and they do that by abusing the Word of God. And all of the time that I've done this radio program, probably one of the greatest things that has ever been mentioned to me, and it wasn't a direct comment, it was somebody that told somebody else, and that person told me, was, I want to emphasize the Word of God. I want to emphasize the full Word of God so that you know what God wants, so that you can be victorious over the temptations in your life. So, I pray that our prayer time is so effective that even when we find ourselves in difficult conditions, adverse places, challenges that we are not really relishing, situations that seem to go on for weeks and months and years on end, that we don't get discouraged, we don't get weary in well-doing, we keep on praying. So, it finally got to the point where the devil said, I'm leaving. This evidently is not a good opportune time. And so he left. I'll tell you this. I hope that the devil finds very few opportunities to tempt us. I pray that our eyes are fixed on Jesus so that the lust of the eyes has no temptation for you. I pray that we walk in the Spirit so that the lust of the flesh are not enticing to us. I pray that God provides a way of escape from temptation for us by changing our heart, where our heart longs for God more than it longs for the things that God created. So, what else happens in the wilderness? I want to take you to Matthew chapter 4. Reads pretty similarly to Luke chapter 4, except verse number 11 says this, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I want to set this before you. Pray so you don't enter temptation. Pray before you find yourself in a situation where you may experience temptation. If you are experiencing temptation, pray after you have experienced temptation, and hopefully that you came through that victorious. Continue to pray. And just like at his baptism, when Jesus emerged and he prayed, and all of a sudden heaven was opened and a voice from heaven came, there was a physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus. There was spiritual activity that was taking place in the wilderness where Jesus was tempted when the devil left, God answered prayers. And it's this. Angels came and ministered to him. And I am so thankful that God is still doing supernatural things. He's not retired. What I see in this passage is this, that God is better at providing for us than we could ever be at providing for ourselves. One time I was at a conference, I was walking through this place, and it was a fancy building. It really was. It was a lot of walking, but it was a fancy place. And I was all by myself. It was a long walk to the car. And God said, you know, since you said yes to doing what I asked you to do, I want you to understand that I have done a better job of providing for you than you could have ever done for yourself. And I said, yes, sir, you have. Now, if you look back in my rearview mirror, you would see there were some very, very desperate, there were some very difficult, there were some less than satisfactory seasons, but they were only light and momentary compared to what God has for us. Let me tell you, prayer keeps your eyes on the eternal so that you are fully aware that the things that are stored up for us in heaven cannot be stolen, do not deteriorate, and are beyond comparison with the best that this world has to offer. Don't miss heaven for the world. Keep on praying. Let the Spirit of God lead you. And if you do find yourself in a difficult season, don't quit praying. Keep on praying, because you'll come out victorious on the other side, and God will send everything that you need to minister to you to equip you for the days to come. You have a blessed day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.